I want to thank your minister for the very kind welcome and for the invitation to come here tonight to share what the Lord has done for me with you here tonight. Before we read a bit of the Word of God, perhaps we'll bow our heads and close our eyes in a short word of prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we approach thee this night again through the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Saviour. Lord, at the very outset of this testimony, we would ask that thou would bind the strong man. Lord, that thou would cast the accuser from this building, for he is the accuser of the brethren. Lord, we thank thee for the young people that's gathered in this night. We ask, O Lord, that thou indeed would take that spiritual blindness from those that are out of Christ. And Lord, as the word is cast forth this night, that the Holy Spirit would apply such to their hearts. We praise thee for the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. And we praise thee that that blood has lost none of his ancient powers. Lord, touch these lips with that live coal from off the altar even now, that it would speak well of Christ and speak well of the blood. Lord, take from me the fear of man. And Lord, we ask none other this night than that thy name be glorified and uplifted high and far above all. In Jesus' name we ask it, and in accordance to thy will. Amen. And amen. Excuse me, folks, I get a drink of this water. I drink a lot of it. I wonder, would you turn with me to your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the chapter 3, a well-known portion of Scripture. And you can see now the young-looking fellow I am on the glasses now, recently. So our brother said we had a lot of things in common. And that's in the field, taking place in the field. And if I was to speak tonight about gamekeeping or rearing pheasants, I could maybe keep us here to Wednesday. I'm sure you all want for a drop of tea. So we'll not keep us that long. Chapter 3 of the book of John, please. I'll read the first 7 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, thee, ye must be born again. Amen. And we'll ask the Lord to bless that word to our own hearts this evening. If you're here tonight, friend, and you were born into a home where the Sabbath day was reverenced, where you had Christian parents, when the meal was laid upon the table, thanks was given, where the scripture was opened faithfully and regularly in the house and read. Friend, you have been born in the very privileged position. That privilege was not afforded unto me. I was born in a little town called Dundrum. I'm sure maybe some of you blinking through and missed it, but it's just north of Newcastle, along the coast. I was born into a family, and I have to say, the only time that the Lord's name was used in our house would have been in vain. Nevertheless, on a Sunday afternoon, I was sent faithfully along to the local parish Sabbath school, and I was a granny's boy. Any boys and girls here tonight's granny boys? That's a good thing to be. There's a lot of perks on it. Well, I was a granny's boy, but nevertheless, on the Sabbath evening, I was taken along to the local parish church every Sabbath evening to the local parish church. I was just looking out the other night, I was driving by it. There was just a chain link wire fence between us and the church. There was no getting out of it, so there wasn't. And every Sabbath night, I was took to that church. Now, you might say that was a brave, good upbringing, and so it was. We wanted for nothing. But I have to say before God tonight, neither in that Sabbath school, no, neither in that church did I hear the way of salvation, nor did I know the way of salvation. Never once. Now, I pondered that a lot of times in my mind. I've said, well, maybe it was just me. Maybe I was boisterous. Maybe I was misbehaving. Well, that didn't happen. You've got a clip around the side of the ear if you had a been. But you know, when I think of many people who have been saved before I went to that church, and many people have been saved from it, my family, some of my family still go to it on a rite of Christ. I can't recall even one making a profession of faith from that church. That's sad in this day in our land. Nevertheless, I went through the rituals of the church, baptized as an infant, through confirmation. And boy, was I glad to see confirmation class end. I was sick of it. But I had to go and was confirmed into the church. And as far as I was concerned, confirmation, that was me finished with the church, finished with Sabbath school, finished with confirmation classes, and finished with God. That was me finished. But you know, there's a verse in 1 Samuel 3 and the verse 7, and it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And that was me. I didn't know the Lord, and neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto me as yet. My two uncles, I live in McGranny, and her two sons, my two uncles, they were jam pot farmers. Don't know why you have any jam pot farmers in this congregation. But in other words, they worked during the day, and at night they had a dozen beasts and maybe 20 ewes look after. And every night, I would have went with one of the uncles. He was home early in the car, and we would have went to follow the cattle and sheep, except for a Wednesday. A Wednesday night was the night he went to see his girlfriend. That was curtain night for him. So I had to walk the 2 or 3 miles from Dundrum, up out of Dundrum and over the cut, a lonely lane, not a light or anything on it, a battery lamp in your hand, and sometimes it didn't work, and away I went to look after the cattle. I remember well, I can't remember the year of it. It must have been the early 80s. But I remember this night walking up along it, and I seen a man standing on the hedge with a gun. Now, he wasn't a terrorist. Don't go down that road. But I knew the man, but the man never knew me. But the gun was an attraction to me, so I stopped, started talking to him. He was waiting on the ducks coming off the shore into the barley field. And I got talking to the man, and he found out that I had ferrets, and we decided that we'd meet up someday and we'd go for a day at the rabbits. Never seen the man again. That was September to the 25th of December that year. Now you might say, well, he forgot the year, but he knew the day. I knew the day because there I was on the floor pulling the presents open. Looked down the yard through the glass door, and I could see this man walking up the yard. And I knew with a parley had on him. I knew the parley had on him. He wasn't going to church, this man. I knew he was for the field. So the present was discarded. The dinner was forgot about. The ferrets were put under the box, into his car, and away we went. Coming home that day, that man asked me a question that was to change my life forever. You see, I said I knew the man, but he never knew me. This man was known in Dundrum as a blow-in. He never was born and reared in Dundrum. He came in a few years before, maybe 10 years before. But every Sabbath morning, he could be seen his Bible under his arm, get into his car, and go into his place of worship. And every Sabbath night, and that was a rare thing in Dundrum. It's an even rarer thing today in Dundrum. And not one night during the week, that man could be seen again with his Bible under his arm, and away he would have went to the weekly prayer meeting. You see, he was known in Dundrum as a good living man. A man that feared God. And everybody knew him with that. The people working in the shop knew him. They didn't probably know his name. And says, "Is that good living boy from the Key Point there?" So it is. And he was a gentleman. If you asked anybody in the drum today whether he's still living, a saint of God, if you asked anybody in the shop today, a real gentleman, nice man. And coming home that day, Robert, you call him Robert as well, maybe some of you know him, Robert Patton. Robert was asked me a question. He says, "Do you ever think spiritually?" And that was a big word for me. So it was. And I says to him, "Well, what could you break that down a bit for me?" He says, "Tell me this, do you ever think what would happen to you if you died? Where you would go?" Well, I says, "To tell you the truth, I have given a bit of a thought, but nothing has ever come of it, you know." He says, "Do you go to church?" I says, "No, I finished with church. Confirmed. I'm there." He says, would you go to church some night? Well, I didn't want to be ignorant. I says, I will go with you some night. He says, I'll lift you on Sunday night. I just wasn't expecting to go on Sunday night, to tell you this, but Sunday night came and there was I was ready. Into the car and we went to Newcastle Baptist Church. Just before we go to the church. I wonder, brother and sister in Christ, have you an influence over a young boy or a young girl or a young man or a young woman? And you know, perhaps they'll think the world of you, but you never think of inviting them into the place of the house of the Lord. You use that influence. Use that influence for good. Here was a man, took a young fella he didn't even know to chase a lot of rabbits. And took him with him faithfully to the meetings and seen him saved. Brother or sister, there's a challenge for you. But anyway, he brought me to Newcastle Baptist Church, and for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel preached from the pulpit, boys and girls. First time in my life, I heard that I needed to be saved. The speaker that night was Pastor Martin. Thank God for him. And he scared the life clean out of me. And I says, if I'm out of here tonight, I'll not be back. I don't know what sort of an outfit this is, but I'll not be back. And home in the car, Robert asked me, what do you think of the meeting? I says, oh, it's a great meeting. Great meeting. He says, would you back sometime? I says, I'll go back sometime, surely, with you. I'll lift you next Sunday night, he says. And every Sunday night after that, and he spoke a bit, so he did, and if he had to go to Ballykeel Baptist or some other Baptist church, I was with him. Every Sunday night. And how could I get out of it? He took me for a couple of days shooting to the rabbits. Thought the world of him. How could I get out of it? You know, I had two great loves in life. One was field sports and the other one was flute bands. I used to run a flute band in Castlewell. Actually, it was the first barn pit ever band. If you remember, you older folks remember the barn pit was band in Castlewell. Me and my fella run it. And we're not going to glory in them days. The time of my life, I don't want to glory in. But anyway, at a barn pit, I met a young girl. Now, folks, if you ever go through the scriptures, and there's always a woman involved in it somewhere along the line, isn't there? And I met a young woman. I ended up marrying her, so it wasn't too bad. And I thank God for her. But she asked me one night, she says, in Newcastle, we're sitting, I was sitting with her and her friend in her car, and she says, would you go to, do you go to church? I said, go to church, surely, go to church. I go to the Baptist church. I was some boy. She says to me, would you go to our church some night? She was trying to catch me, you say. She knew it was a catch. So I says, where do you go to? We'll go to the Free Presbyterian Church in Kilkeel. Well, I knew nothing about Free Presbyterianism at that time. And I says, well, we'll go, yes. So got ready on the Sunday night, and we went to Kilkeel, to the Free Presbyterian Church in Kilkeel. Preacher that night was Gordon Ferguson. He was the minister. Now, I told you a minute ago that the boy in the Baptist was bad. Well, this boy was 20 times worse. And I says, friend, if I might buy you at the night the door, I'll not be back. But you know something? The Lord started to speak to me. The Lord started to speak to me in a way that the Lord had never spoke to me before. You see, for that 2 years or so I was going to the Baptist church, I knew we needed to be saved. I knew it. But you know, the Lord really started to speak to me now. The weight of my sin was heavy upon me. Every time I took the Lord's name in vain, it hurt in the heart. All my sin was heavy upon me. You know, I have to confess one thing before God tonight. I used to sit down on the edge of the bed before I went to sleep and ask the Lord that he'd preserve me, that he wouldn't take me during the night, and me not saved. And I woke in the morning and I thanked him for sparing me another night, and me not saved. Went to the Free Presbyterian Church, kept going back. I used to say, you know, this is the night. I'm getting saved tonight. I'm going to stop Ferguson this door tonight. I'm getting saved tonight. But you know, as you went down the church, the accuser would speak to you, not tonight. What are you going to tell the boys in the band? You see, a young person, if the Lord's speaking to you, and even an older person, because sometimes it's harder for the older person, you say, well, what am I going to tell the boys at work? What am I going to tell my friends? Well, I'll tell you now, they can laugh you into hell, but they'll not laugh you out of it. You remember that young person, older person, the Lord speaking to you. So anyway, I came around that the harvest was coming to Long Long Free Presbyterian work. So we worked off morn. I'll just tell you another thing before we come to that. I remember one night me and another boy who run the band, we were keeping bad company about East Belfast. I remember it was a band parade on Ravenhill Road one Saturday. And this boy came over to me out of the blue. Now, I have to say, I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. And he asked me, did I want a drink? He had a bottle of Coke. I said, no, you're all right, but I don't. Now, there was maybe ten or a dozen of us standing there. I said, you're all right, I don't. He says, there's nothing in it. In other words, there's no spirits in it. No. I says, you're all right. He says, tell me this, are you a Christian boy? Well, he had the hot up in the crack on the tar head or get into it. I was embarrassed. Somebody asking me that in the company I was in. And I didn't even think this boy knew anything about Christians or being a Christian. So several weeks later, me and the other fellow that run the band was down in his house in East Belfast. And there's only me and that fella and him and his brother and another fella. Five was in the room. And I plucked up the courage to ask him a question. I says, tell me this, Spurry. Why did you ask me, was I a Christian? Now he shocked me with the answer. He says, you know, I got saved many years ago. And I went on with the Lord. And I taught in Sabbath school. And I stayed in the band. It was in Ballymacart Defenders Flute Band. George Best's father started it. And he says, I stayed in the band. I went on for 5 or 6 years. And one night, I got into a row. And that was it. I got away from the Lord. I got put out of the Sunday school. I fell out with my girlfriend. I lost my job. He says, you know, someday, he says, I might come back to the Lord. That was an answer that shocked me. Now, the other boy who was with me, he says to me, do you think he's ranking off this salvation? He says, I says, tell him, Reggie, if anything happens, me and you get home tonight, we're for hell. Imagine a statement of God coming out of a young fella who's not saved. And he had a wee mini metro, and me and him got into it, and went from East Belfast to Dundrum. There was a moonlit night. You can picture it now. You can buy the temple there. You can see it as plain as day. And not one or two of us spoke a word to each other the whole way home. So was as much was the fear of God upon both of us. I left me off the door of the house and I says, I'll see you tomorrow, Reggie. He says, I'll see you. And that was it. The fear of God was so much upon us, but still out of Christ and hellbound. As I said, the harvest was coming to Anna Long, and Vivian there, she says to me, we'll go the morning night to the harvest service. I says, I'll not be neared. I'll not be neared. So much was the Lord taking dealing with me. The last thing I wanted to go to was the harvest service on a Monday night. It was bad enough being there on a Sunday, but not on the Monday night. But my heart softened over the weekend, and I said I would go. The speaker that night was Dr. Paisley. I knew I was in for a rough time. And the meetings in them days, this was 1986, September 1986. The meetings in those days, you didn't arrive at the meeting at 10 to 8 and hope to get a seat. You were there at 20 minutes past 7, and the place was packed by half 7, so it was. Anybody after that squeezed in. His text that night was that great harvest text, Jeremiah 8 and the verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And that was me. That was me. A harvest was passed, another summer was ended, and I was not saved. And the Lord spoke to me that night suddenly. I knew that night that that was my last chance for salvation. You see, he tells us that a spirit shall not always strive with man. And the Lord that night took me to the crossroads. To tell you the truth, I was going to get up in the middle of the meeting and stop the meeting and ask him to point me to the Lord. But I held out to the end. But he used an illustration that night. He told the story. And I want to tell it to you tonight. And it was a story, this story that really touched my heart. He said that he was called to the ministry. He was working in County Tyrone. And he was bringing in the horses from the field to were ploughing. And the farm he had to go to was up a lane. The bottom of the lane was a little cottage. And on it lived a man. He was a drunkard. But he had been nurtured in the gospel. Anything he got, he squandered.
he wasted it. The last night before he left, he was bringing the horses up the lane, and the old boy came out. He says, "Paisley, they here are leaving us." "That's right," he says. "I'm going to the Theological Hall in Wales to train for the ministry." "Well," he says, "I'll miss you." And he says, "Well," Dr. Paisley says, "well, thank you." He says, "I can't invite you to come with me, but I can invite you to come to the Lord." "Why?" he says. The man let a hearty laugh at him. He says, "Will I tell you, young fella, I've seen plenty of harvests. I've seen plenty of summers. There's plenty of time for that." Dr. Paisley went to the Theological Hall, and a few months later he came back and he visited the farm, and he says, "I'll take a down the down and see the boy in the house." And he went down to the house, and the house was boarded up. He went back to the farm, and he asked the farmer. The farmer says, "Sure, should have told you. You only weigh about 2 or 3 weeks," he says. "Took bad, went to hospital, never come home." The Lord spoke to me that night. And that night, at the end of that meeting, I got down on that little platform at the back of Anna Long, the wee tin hut by Dr. Paisley, and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. Now, the hymn writer penned the words that floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows rolled when Jesus came into my heart. But brother and sister and sinner friend, I know those floods of joy felt like. Because there was tears that night in that little hut and in our house. But they were not tears of sorrow. They were tears of joy. Because the burden that night of my sin rolled away. You know, that was a sort of a short testimony. I would like to be able to sit down and say, well, that was it. I was saved for time and eternity. And praise God, I was and am. But the next 3 or 4 years, I went on with the Lord well. Loved the place of prayer. But you know something? I got involved in the sport. And I loved the sport that I was involved in. I wasn't running. And she used to figure that out. But I loved the sport that I was enjoyed in. I was involved in. I loved the plat on the back and the well done. I loved bringing the odd cup home. And it wasn't too long. Now, believer, I'm talking to you. It wasn't too long before the scriptures was took down once a week and just opened up and read. Just to quench the conscience. And it wasn't too long that my seat was empty in the place of prayer at the prayer meeting. And it wasn't too long before I wasn't out on the Sunday evening. And it wasn't too long after that till I wasn't out on Sunday at all. I knew the outward appearance looked good. Praise God, I was never caught with the vices of drink or anything like that. So I wasn't found in a pub or anything. Looked good from the outside. But the inside was wrong. So it was. Now perhaps you're saying tonight, and I don't know any is, perhaps you're saying to yourself, you know, that sounds like me. I could have backsliding here. You're ready there, friend. You're ready there. I was a backslider, and I was away from the Lord on the mountains wild and bare. I was a mourner in Zion, and it's not a nice place to be. You know the night of your coming on to the statement that I made, you know what I felt like. I was unhappy. I didn't want to be where I was. And you know, I was hit with a wee bit of bad health. Nothing too serious, but I remember the Reverend Colin Mercer coming to visit me in hospital. In Daisy Hill and down Pat in Newry. And he knew that I was far from the Lord. And I knew it. And I remember it well. That day in the bed in the hospital, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come back into my heart, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And praise God, he did. You see, the Lord's mercy doesn't endure just for a week or a day or a year, it endureth forever. That night and on along, I went into that wee tin hut, a child of the devil, one that blasphemed his name, that trampled his blood underfoot. And I left that hut that night, a child of God, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not for anything that I done, but because of Jesus, what he done for me on Calvary. shed his blood for my sins. Shed his blood for your sins. And young person, if you're not saved tonight, don't you leave this building without being saved.
I want to turn you back to chapter 3 of John 3, please. And I said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In the last few minutes, I want to break that verse down to you. First of all, it's the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. It's truth. You see this book, people. This book here has divided nations, has divided countries, has divided families, and it's going to divide this congregation. Because there's people in this congregation, and I would fear, they not pay heed to this book. This is the book that will be opened on you in the day of judgment. You'll be judged out of it. Therefore, it's going to divide it. I fear that the people in this congregation are not saved, they'll be lost. I hope and pray not. But I have that fear. And you know, we could sit down and debate, and I'm sure there's brothers and sisters in Christ tonight and that have difference of opinion me on election, on baptism, on dress. There's many things we could debate on this night. But you know, it only tells me one way of salvation. One way. One way and only one. John 14:6. I am the way. What way? The way to heaven. The truth. What truth? This book's truth. And the life. What life? Life eternal. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Jesus speaking here. Except the man. We'll go no further than that in a minute. Except the man. Young person. That doesn't mean man. That does mean man as in me. But it also means woman. It also means young boy and young girl, young lady and young man. Means man. Except a man be born again. Be saved. Be blood washed. Be born of the Spirit. There's no plainer than that. Jesus said it. Except a man, woman, young man, young woman, boy or girl, be born again, be saved, be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. See the last bit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to notice something there. It doesn't say you'll not be in heaven. It doesn't say you'll not be in heaven. It says you'll not even feast your eyes upon it. It's not as if you're going to be in heaven. You know, there's people today and they say, well, St. Peter or St. Paul meet me at the gate and we'll come to an agreement. No, no, friend. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Your eyes will never feast upon it. I travel from Kilkeel towards Newcastle every day along the coast. So you've done it millions of times. Well, if you go down on a good morning in the summer, July, August, September time, and the sun rises just come up off the Isle of Man about 7 o'clock in the morning, and it shines onto Newcastle from the bloody bridge, and you're about 3 or 4 miles out of Newcastle, friend. The sun shines on Newcastle. It's a sight to behold. It's worth going to see. I see it regular. You can see Newcastle down before you're on it. It's a sight to behold. The whole place is lit up. And every morning I see it, I think of this verse. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Your eyes will never feast upon it. It's not as if you'd make it in it and the Lord will judge you and they'll cast you out. No, that's not what it says. It says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're lost. There's no plainer than not there. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. That's the same man. Man. Woman, young man, young girl, young boy.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Young person, sinner friend, if you have any other aspirations this night of getting to heaven any other way, you're not going there. You're lost. You're lost. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Young person tonight, older person, if you're out of Christ, be saved. And be saved today. I was looking at your text in the wall. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I would love somebody to answer that for me someday. I've pondered that verse many times before the ungodly. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How will you escape, friend? Be saved, and be saved tonight.